We're going to look at a message I have entitled, Your Adversary, the Devil. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Peter says, Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, the Bible says, For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That is not a minor thing, folks. You don't wrestle against someone who is powerless. And if you are wrestling against the devil, it is because the devil has real power. He is not to be ignored. He is not to be treated lightly. He is not the boogeyman. He is not something that goes bump in the night. He is a real person. He is as real as anyone in this room is real, and he is powerful. And that is why Peter said, Be sober in our text. That simply means to have a disciplined mind. The word vigilant here simply means to be watchful. What is the Bible saying? The Bible is simply saying this, you ought to have a disciplined mind and you ought to be on the lookout for danger. Do you realize the fact that you are in danger? You are in danger as long as the devil exists, you are in danger. Now, you're not without power, but you are in danger. You are in danger as a church. You are in danger as families. You are in danger as individuals. And you must not let your guard down until the day comes when the devil is chained in the bottomless pit. We're going to notice several things about our adversary. Number one, the reality of the devil. Number two, the character of the devil. And then number three, the aim of the devil. Please notice number one, the reality of the devil. Peter presumes a genuine belief in the existence of the devil. He treats him as a real person. He treats him as real as the saints he opposes or the God he defies. He is not some force. He is not some monster. He is not some made-up creature. He is as real as God Almighty is, as anybody in this room is, and his mind is set on your destruction. I am simply saying this. Anytime you do something for God, the devil is filled with rage. He is filled with anger. He loves sin. He loves wickedness. He despises righteousness. His will is that you might rebel against the Lord. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, never took the devil lightly. In Luke chapter 22, verse 31, Jesus said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Did you know that God does things to improve you and Satan does things to destroy you? Did you know that Satan can bring circumstances, trials, and difficulties into your life? He has the power to do that. And the only purpose for those circumstances, trials, and difficulties is not to improve you, but to destroy you. Did you know that the devil can afflict your physical bodies? Do you remember the story of the Apostle Paul who spoke of his physical thorn in the flesh and called it the messenger of Satan? Did you know that the devil has the power to kill? Do you see that in the Old Testament? The devil had the power to control the elements and bring a great storm that caused the house to collapse and kill the family of Job. He has that kind of power. The devil had the power to bring diseases to Job's body so that he was in pain. Whether he sat, stood, walked, or lay down, Job was in pain. The devil had the power over wicked men's minds that they might steal Job's possessions. Now, all of these things that happened to Job were masterminded by the devil himself. He has that kind of power over your physical bodies. He has that kind of power over your physical lives. The devil is a real person with real power. However, the devil is not omnipotent. That is, he is not all-powerful. I talked to you about the things that he did to Job, but do you remember that he could not do one single thing until God gave him permission to do it? Satan does not have a free hand over you. That is, he does not have the right to lay one finger on you without God's permission. Satan is limited in what he can do, rendered to the will of God. He is not omnipotent. Only God is all-powerful. Satan does not know all things, is not omniscient. He does not know what you're thinking. Only God knows your thoughts. Now, Satan can suggest thoughts to you just like I can suggest thoughts to you. He can do that, but he cannot read your mind. He does not know your meditations. That is why the Bible talks about the importance of keeping your mind fastened on Jesus Christ and your meditation on the Word of God day and night. In Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, the Bible says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." The devil does not know what you're thinking. He only knows what you say. He observes what you do. He must be informed. Since he does not know all things, the only things that he knows about you is by personal observation, or else he is informed by one of his demons, or he overhears what you say. He is not omniscient. Only God knows your thoughts. Satan is not omnipresent. He cannot be everywhere at once. Now, he is a spirit, so he can move rapidly, but he is localized. God is omnipresent. God can be with us in this building, and God can be with his people all over the face of the earth all at the same time and not be diminished in his doing so. Satan cannot. The devil cannot be everywhere at once. He is always in one place at a time. The Bible indicates that most usually he is in the presence of God seeking to accuse God's people, or else he travels back and forth through all the earth seeking to find God's people that are not doing right. The devil cannot be everywhere at once. Only God is omnipresent. Did you know that Satan does not grasp spiritual truth? He does not understand the basic character of the working of God. Do you know why Satan offered Jesus the kingdoms of the world? He thought he could deliver. Do you know why Satan devised in the mind of Herod to kill all the babies in Bethlehem? He thought he could get by with it. Do you know why Satan is going to gather an army at the Battle of Armageddon? He is not convinced that he is going to be defeated. Did you know that an unsaved man is just like the devil in that he does not grasp, comprehend, or understand spiritual truth? It would be absolutely impossible for him to do that, because in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the Bible says the natural man, that's the unsaved man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. What is the Bible saying? The Bible is simply saying this. The natural man does not grasp, comprehend, or understand spiritual truth, because spiritual truth is spiritually discerned. That's the natural man. He needs to be saved, needs to be born again in order to grasp, comprehend, and understand spiritual truth. This is man's condition. Every human being in the world is born spiritually dead. He is born that way, separated from God because of his sin. He is cut off completely from a personal relationship with God Almighty. That is man's condition. Every single person in the world from Adam until this very hour stands before Almighty God guilty, and all the world must say, "I am guilty, for I am a sinner. I have by my nature and by my choice offended a holy God, and so have you." God looks at the human race and judges us guilty. For all of us have offended God in one way or another. It makes no difference the magnitude, the capacity, or the length of your sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because you are a sinner, you're condemned to die. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed unto men once to die." And Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." That includes eternal separation from God and the people of God in an awful place called hell. You say, "Preacher, I don't want to go to that awful place called hell, so I'm going to work my way into heaven." Well, you'll never be able to work your way into God's heaven. God does not have a scale in heaven whereby he weighs good and bad works. That's the lie of the devil. Don't believe the devil's lie. Salvation is not to be found in church membership. There's absolutely nothing in all the world you can ever do to earn it. In Ephesians 2:8-9, the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Titus 3:5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us." You see, God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to bear your sin and die in your place on the cross. In other words, he became your substitute. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he," that's God, "hath made him," that's Christ, "to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And if you would believe on Christ, you could be saved. Acts 16:31, the Apostle Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." In Romans 10:9-10, it says that if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," in Romans 10:13. If you've never been saved, if you've never been born again, you need to be saved. You need to be born again so that you can begin to grasp, comprehend, and understand spiritual truth so that you can grow spiritually thereby. And with that, you'll receive forgiveness of all your sins, eternal life, and a home in heaven when you die. Did you know that a Christian who is filled with the Holy Spirit of God has greater insight into spiritual truth than the devil, as old as he is? The devil does not grasp spiritual truth. He does not understand the Bible. He does not understand the great principles of the working of God. He is spiritually impotent. Now, the devil is a defeatable foe. In James 4:7, the Bible says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." The Bible says you are to resist, and if you resist, the devil will flee from you. You say, "Preacher, how do you resist the devil?" You do not resist the devil by engaging into temptation. You resist the devil by being obedient to God. For example, you sit down and turn on the television set and some sensual program comes on. Immediately you're tempted. What you could do is sit there and say, "I can handle it." Or you can say, "I know what I'll do. I'll obey God's word." Psalm 101:3 says, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes." If you obey, God says that's resistance, and the devil will flee from you. Satan, though he is powerful, though he is strong, though he is real, though he is ferocious, though he is all of that, he is not omnipotent. He is not omniscient. He is not omnipresent. He does not grasp, comprehend, or understand spiritual truth. And the child of God, in the power and in the energy of the Holy Spirit of God, can defeat the devil himself. So we have noticed, number one, the reality of the devil. But notice, number two, the character of the devil. In 1 Peter 5:8, Peter says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." When you read this text, there are three things that Peter calls the devil. He refers to him by three names or titles, and these names or titles indicate the character of the devil. He is called the devil. The word devil here simply means one who accuses. If the devil could have his way in your life, he would discredit you. He will accuse you before God, and by the way, that is part of his ministry today. He is constantly in the presence of God accusing you. In Revelation 12:10, the Bible says, "For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." And if that be true, and it is, then don't do those things he can pick up and hurdle in the face of God and thus accuse you of improper behavior. Don't do that. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, the Bible says, neither give place to the devil. What is the Bible saying? It's simply saying this. Don't allow there to be a spot in your life whereby the devil can launch a campaign against you. And that simply means this. You need to be godly, not ungodly. You need to be pure, not impure. You need to be clean, not unclean. You need to be gracious, not ungracious. Let the devil's accusations be nothing but lies. What a compliment God paid to Job before Satan in Job chapter 1 and verse 8, which says, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Here is God speaking of the practical righteousness of Job and saying there is not a single man on the earth like him. I wonder when the devil comes and accuses you before God, I wonder if God says that about you. I wonder if there is a practical righteousness about your life. I wonder if there is a practical godliness about your life that so impresses God that he hurls your character into the face of the vile accusations of Satan. Well, we have noticed, first, Peter calls him the devil. And second, he calls him your adversary. Brethren, Satan is opposed to all you do for God. Every time you do something for God, count on it, the devil is going to fight it. If your church tries to do something for God, you can expect the opposition of the devil. It's going to come. The devil by nature is an adversary. He is an opposer. Have you ever noticed that as soon as you get ready to do something for God, as soon as you make up your mind that you're going to live for Christ and do what is right, trouble comes and you think, what in the world is going on? I'm going to tell you exactly what's going on. The devil is doing what is his character to do. He is opposing everything you do for God. You're not going to make one step forward for God for what the devil does not send some of his demons to do something to oppose what you're doing. He is going to oppose your decision to repent of known sin in your life. He's going to oppose your decision to live for God. He's going to oppose your decision to read the Word of God every day. He's going to oppose your decision to be in church every day the doors are open. He's going to oppose your decision to study the Word of God. He's going to oppose your decision to memorize God's Word. He's going to oppose your decision to do right. He is going to oppose your decision to pursue the will of God for your life. He is going to oppose the work of God in your life. I'm simply saying this. Living for God in opposition from the devil go hand in hand. The Son of God was opposed every step of the way, and you're not going to be exempt. Expect it. It's going to come. Now, it may come in the form of persecution. It may come in the form of negative circumstances. It may come in the form of temptation to sin. Not a Christian marriage has ever existed without opposition. Not a Christian child has ever been raised without opposition. Not a church has ever been built without opposition. Not a ministry has ever been launched without opposition. The devil is an adversary. He is an opposer. He is against all that is good. He is against all that is right. He is against all that is godly. He is against all that is Christian the world over. If you are on God's side, you have made yourself an enemy. He is against you. He is against your destruction. And he'll do everything he can to oppose you. He is a wicked enemy. He is the enemy of God. He is the enemy of Jesus Christ. He is the enemy of the child of God. He is the enemy of all truth. We have noticed first, he is the devil. And second, he is your adversary, but notice number three, he is a roaring lion. 1 Peter 5:8, Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And you see this devil sneaking up on you, quietly stalking, and suddenly pouncing on you. That's not what this is talking about. The devil is not sneaking up on you. The devil is coming at you like a lion roaring wildly. Can you imagine walking along, minding your own business, and all of a sudden, boldly out of the underbrush comes this lion with his eyes fixed on you, roaring wildly at the top of his lungs? What would that do to you? Ah! He'd scare you. He tries to scare you into submission. He screams into ears and says, you cannot live for God. You cannot do what's right. You cannot memorize scripture. You can't be in church Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You cannot be a loving husband in the home. You cannot be a submissive wife in the home. You cannot be an obedient child in the home. He screams into your ears. He intimidates you by the volume of his voice. We have noticed, number one, the reality of the devil. We have noticed, number two, the character of the devil. But notice, number three, the aim of the devil. Peter says he seeks whom he may devour. The word devour here means to swallow up. Satan does not have at his goal to cause you a little bit of trouble down here. His goal is to devour you from off the face of the earth. His desire is to swallow you up, leaving no trace that you've ever been here. He will shatter your testimony by seducing you to sin. He will sow doubt in your mind. He will sow discord in your hearts. He will devour your testimony. He will devour your faith. He will devour your witness for Christ. He will devour your family. He will devour your children. He will devour your home. He will devour your business. He will devour your church. He will devour your joy. He will devour your peace. His goal is your destruction, and with that in mind, he has devoured many Christians. And he has devoured many ministries. Brethren, when you allow sin to go on in your life, you're playing right into the devil's hands. When you do not attend church regularly, when you do not read the Bible every day, when you do not pray every day, when you do not have devotions and quiet time with the Lord every day, when you do not study the Word of God every day, when you do not memorize Scripture every day, when you do not feed upon the Word of God every day, when you do not do what the Bible says to do and keep from doing what it says not to do, you're playing right into the devil's hands. That is, you are playing in the underbrush where he lives. And the devil will come out in a moment and devour you, leaving no trace that you have ever been here. Notice, number one, the reality of the devil is a real person. He is real as anyone in this room is real, and he is powerful. But he is not all powerful. He is not omnipotent. He is not omniscient. He is not omnipresent. He does not grasp spiritual truth. And the child of God, in the power and in the energy of the Holy Spirit of God, can defeat the devil himself. And we have noticed, number two, the character of the devil. He is an accuser. He is constantly in the presence of God accusing you. And if that be true, and it is, then please don't do those things he can pick up and hurtle in the face of God and thus accuse you of improper behavior. Don't do that. You need to be godly, not ungodly. You need to be pure, not impure. You need to be clean, not unclean. You need to be gracious, not ungracious. Let the devil's accusations be nothing but lies. He is your adversary. He is against all that is good. He is against all that is right. He is against all that is godly. He is against all that is Christian the world over. If you are on God's side, you have made yourself an enemy. He is against you. He is against your destruction. And he'll do everything he can to oppose you. He is a roaring lion who screams in the ears, you cannot live for God. You cannot do what's right. You cannot serve the Lord. Don't believe the devil's lies. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And then we notice number three, the aim of the devil. He wants to devour you from off the face of the earth, leaving no trace that you've ever been here.